Welcome to Dead Zone, the podcast. Were you going to start?
Start talking. No, I was just looking at you. I was just enjoying looking at you. And it's a professional. We're in the studio together. This is a rarity at this point, to be able to look across at you in the eyes and just look, like just really focus. You know when you're with a woman and you're just able to lock eyes and gaze, and then at that moment, that's what I want.
Is it scripted?
It's starting to happen now. You wrote these lines. I didn't want to say I locked eyes with you in a passionate embrace. I'm just reading the script.
Oh, Ixnay's behind the scenes.
Well, but now it's all ruined. Look behind the curtain.
This is the outtake. Isn't supposed to come first.
Great and powerful Oz.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 68th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for early April 2017. In this episode, we recap Adepticon. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode.
Welcome to Dead Zone the Podcast, episode 68. It's post-Adepticon. We're all pretty depressed. I've been drinking a lot, and I frankly can't wait till next year. Or 2 years, as Jack likes to call it.
Yes, yes. No, we...
I'm Rob, by the way.
And I'm Jack. Yeah, we went to Adepticon. They're fun and games, and hilarity ensued. And this is just going to be a wrap-up. It happened a couple weeks ago, so some of the intricate details are starting to disappear.
Become legend.
No, we're certain. This will not be a photographic memory, a retelling in exact detail, but we're going to have a nice reminisce, a little walk down the garden path, maybe just to jog our memories. One last little, oh, but mostly to, say thanks to those who deserve it, to mock and ridicule those who deserve it, and to boast of our drinking and or gaming prowess.
Like when Tyler knocked that glass over?
Oh, awkward.
Oh. Anyways, let's get to the beginning.
Yeah, the douche chills I got from just thinking about that.
That's for Tom. So, Adepticon. And we're going to, first of all, we'd like to thank Beetle, because he has a lot of pictures. The link will be to his pictures in the show notes. And,
yes.
He took a lot of pictures on Saturday for Mantic Night and the Dead Zone Tournament. So you can check those out there. We won't reproduce them here, but please go to that link.
And you'll see a lot of pictures. He was a prolific cameraman.
It was great to see him there, but we'll get to that later. So the trip. We took a train from Buffalo, which we're in. Not people know this, but we're in Fort Erie.
Yeah, we're right across the river from Buffalo, so it's
in
not
Canada.
It's not a jaunt to get to the train station, and we passed the border with relative ease,
stuffed in the back of a Mini Cooper.
Yes, yes,
with all of our luggage, somehow we actually fit in the back of a Mini Cooper.
Yeah, I think we're. At this point, the border security in the United States has reached like Berlin, circa the 1980s. We pity was taken on us, crammed in the back of that vehicle, and he waved us through.
Well, I think he took pity also. And the moment he heard we're going to a gaming convention, he said, "Video games?" We said, "No, tabletop games." And he went, "Nerds," and then just waved us through.
Yeah.
So luckily, crossing the border was super easy. Going to the train station, pretty easy.
Train station was nice.
Pleasantly timeless.
Timeless. It could have been any era. Well, it was clean. It was, there wasn't a lot of riffraff. There's a couple sketchy
couple riffraff.
People, but for the most part, nice people. I met a nice woman there. We started talking. There was a
romantic interlude.
Yes.
He almost ended up going to Phoenix with her.
Yeah, she was going to New Mexico.
She was also, I'd say, about 80.
No. No, Probably early 50s.
Anyways,
yeah, but it was nice, and we went plenty early, just in case the border gave us a hassle. We almost didn't make it, but is this when we bring up the night before?
No.
Okay, then never mind. then we waited for the train. The train arrived, and we boarded.
I guess you have to. I almost couldn't find my passport, and there was freaking out and much hair pulling and gnashing of teeth. And I had resigned myself to not going, but luckily, at the last second, I found my passport.
We had just recorded, for whatever reason, everyone decided we needed to do the night before we leave for Adepticon hangout. So Rob bids adieu from the hangout when we all wrap up and says, well, I gotta start packing. I had packed a week earlier, had unpacked and repacked to assure that I had what I wanted, how I wanted it. That's how I am.
I had packed too, but then I was like, oh, I have to check for Pat's address. And I know that was my passport. I went to look for his address. No address, no passport. Needless to say, I freaked out. And, luckily that was behind us.
All day at work, I'm getting messages from Rob. Can't find it. You're going out without me. Can't find it.
It's true. It took me quite a long time, at least 12 hours to find that thing.
And could you muster up the jubilation right now, like to like recreate the at least the noise that you expressed when you found it?
I was like in such shock that I wasn't going that I think I got emotional.
Yeah,
I may have dropped my knees and did a fist pump, but it was yeah. Needless to say, it would have especially after going, I would have missed out on so much.
Yeah.
But the train ride.
Back to the train ride.
We got on the train. There's a lot of people sleeping. And we expected to, you know.
It was midnight when we got on the train. So yeah. Everyone else who was already on the line was already laying across all the seats.
We at first sat next to each other, but luckily a seat opened up. And so we had two separate seats. So two seats to each. We were able to somewhat sleep. It was rocky as hell. It was like, imagine being on a plane that was in constant turbulence.
Yeah. The lights were on the whole time.
It was not great, but we kind of slept. We got to Chicago after, I think it was delayed an hour, so it was 11 hours by the time we got to Chicago.
Yes.
We got to Union Station.
Which, the juxtapose the quaint Buffalo one-roomed where you know I went up a couple times and was talking to the people behind
attendants.
The attendants behind the booth. They're asking all the questions. Just what you would expect
a small
we get there, they herd you off into the underbelly of God knows where. You walk the tracks and they just keep going, and you're looking like, where the hell are we? We're walking between trains.
Jack isn't used to train travel, but...
And then we emerge in, what was a...
Palatial?
Yeah, a very beautiful...
It is a beautiful train station. There was a lot of it's under construction, but once you get up there, and then we're standing next to some stairs, and... people kept taking pictures of these stairs. We're like, what the hell's going on? I'm trying to get the Uber app to work. And we're just like, later it turns out those stairs are from the Untouchables. When the baby goes down the stairs, that's those stairs.
Yeah.
No idea. We're just like standing next to these stairs.
Yeah. So we got our baggage out of the baggage claim. And we were thinking of taking a public transportation to meet Community Pat. But the timing wasn't good for that. We were thinking of a cab because, you know, cab. Rob decided he was going to try Uber. And I will say, I think for me, the most pleasant surprise of the trip was Rob said, okay, I've arranged for Uber. They're going to be here. We walk up the stairs. We get there. His phone rings. I'm here.
Well, it was more like, I'm going to try Uber. Couldn't get to work. Oh, there's no nothing available. We're like, oh, this sucks. This doesn't work. And then we're like, okay, we'll go up the stairs and get a cab. Jack starts walking up the stairs. I try Uber one time. And it's like, eight Ubers in your area. Okay. And one. And then it was literally like, he's here. And we're like, Jack's halfway up the stairs. I'm at the bottom. We have to carry all our bags up to get there. It was so fast. And I believe his name was Jose. Jose was a nice trip.
Yeah. He just said, I'm pulling in. We threw the bags in the back, literally like seconds. And he asked us a couple questions. As soon as he could tell we weren't down for some repartee, the radio came up, and it was just a pleasant drive, relaxing. And 40 bucks later, we were there at the convention center.
Yeah, not too bad. From downtown to Schaumburg for 40 bucks.
Yeah, and a pleasant ride. Nice clean car. He was dynamite. So yeah, that was a you know, when you're traveling and there's that level of stress, and especially when we were thinking of we're going to try and grab
transit,
like, transit, and we didn't know exactly where
we were. And we were too late because we were going to be earlier, so we would have met Pat at his house, but he was already gotten all his stuff.
Yeah, so
we got to the Schaumburg Convention Center because we weren't able to. This was probably by then about noon, and we couldn't check in until about 3.
Yeah, so we couldn't check into our hotel. Pat was already on his way to the convention center, but not there yet. So we just sat and collected our...
Well, at first we just walked right into where they're setting everything up. Nobody asked us anything. We could have...
No.
We could have stolen whatever we wanted, but...
That's a bit of a... No,
but we literally... Nobody stopped us.
No one stopped us.
We had all these bags and stuff. They just must have assumed we were part of somebody.
Yeah, everyone was setting up their booths and stuff, so as long as you weren't causing a ruckus, they were just, okay, you know, whatever.
Pretty relaxed.
It was relaxed. You could tell they knew they had plenty of time, and everyone was high on the fact that
Wednesday, they were... Yeah, this was Wednesday, so we had a full day ahead of everybody.
And they were all like, okay, this is Adepticon. We're all here now. We're all going to, you know, have a good time.
Yep, we relaxed for a little bit. Pat messaged us that he'd come, and we started setting up the Mantic booth.
Yes, so you'll see pictures of us hard at work helping...
carrying heavy things.
Building things.
Jack's sweating a lot.
Yes, there was beads of sweat trickling down both of our brows. We met John...
John Jack.
We met...
Who was there also? Oh, Brian. Brian.
He wasn't there for the setup, though.
Yeah, Brian was.
Yeah, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it was Shane.
Shane was later. And Joe.
Yeah.
But, yes, and the computing pad, of course. So we set up with those guys. They got the mats down. We put all the banners up, and we had to fix one of their banners, which we took for a long time fixing.
There'll be pictures of the Mantic booth and all of this intricate stuffs that were done. And, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool seeing everybody else setting up, too. We got to look around a little early before it got busy. There was nobody there other than... So as we're carrying stuff around, we're checking things out.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see as things got built up. At first, you're like, oh, okay, this is pretty open. And as the booths got bigger and bigger, it got closed, more closed in.
And you could see how much bigger the dealer's area was going to be compared to 2 years ago.
Yeah. When we went 2 years ago, it was, I'd say, a third of this size.
Yeah. Yeah. If not even maybe a little.
Yeah.
This was big. It grew.
And even where they were playing grew, because before the whole other side wasn't open and the dealers was the full end side. Now both sides of the dealer's area was gameplay.
Yeah. I think Rob described it as three hockey rinks.
At least.
Of area.
And like X-Wing took up a huge spot on the one side, and there was a lot of demo games, and then the other side was all 40K. And that's just in the main room. And we were mostly upstairs. We set up some stuff up there, some banners and stuff in the, what was it, Nirvana, I believe it was called.
Yeah.
That's where Kings of War tournament was, and that's where Dead Zone was, and Jet Bikes.
Yeah, so after we did the booth down at that area, then we had to set up the Kings of War area.
Yeah, anybody who was in that tournament who thought the terrain was poorly set up, it's because the people who set it up were all Dead Zone players, and we had no idea how to set up terrain for Kings of War.
Yeah, yeah, literally.
Then Coach was there, and his son Andrew, and we were just pretty much putting mats down, and you and Brian brought up all the mats.
Yeah, we brought
up all the mats. We were just throwing terrain down.
And, really, I heard people both compliment and complain about the terrain, and the whole time I'm thinking... Yeah, people who don't play the game set it up. So
I actually said that to one guy. He's like, "Oh yeah, I was on this board and it was terrible." And I was like, "Yeah, well, that's what you get from people who don't know what they're doing."
Yeah,
you get what you paid. He had like heard or something. He's like, "There's nothing to hide in." And I was like, "Yeah,
I need trees." Well,
we got also all the terrain was supplied and the mats were supplied by Adepticon. So even Mantic didn't have choice of what they were given. We had a certain amount to put down, and that's all we had.
Yeah.
So we tried to keep it within themes. There was like desert and forest and ice boards. So we tried to keep them in. within reason, but generally it worked out. And then after that, we started playing. Did we play Dead Zone that first night?
We went out and had.
That's right. We went out for no. That was even before that because that's before Coach showed up.
And then we did the upstairs, and then after that, we were gonna go out for dinner. But I believe when Coach showed up,
we just went to the hotel.
We checked into the hotel, yeah. And that was when I said I had maybe 3 hours sleep in the last 24. Whiffed at that
point. And we'd done a lot of heavy lifting and work.
I'd worked. I went to work the Tuesday. Got home from work. We went to the bus or to the train station. So like I was whipped. So I got my Jamie Jams on, and I said, "You guys can go if you want." I had my long johns with the little flap in the back. I was ready to retire. And then
Tyler shows up at like midnight.
Yeah. Tyler eventually drifted in,
and so Tyler from Dreadpath Zone, Coach, and Andrew from Family of Gamers 777, and us were all in one suite in the embassy suite, and it. For the most part, worked out. Poor Tyler had to sleep on the floor on some cushions, but he was last to show up, so that's where he gets.
And literally, he didn't have a room. We were taking in stragglers.
Yeah, we already knew Coach was going to be with us. Well, actually, it was originally just me and Jack.
And then
Coach and Andrew joined us, which would have been perfect. And then Tyler joined us, too, which was still fine. We had fun times. There's a lot of bits trading in that room, that's for sure.
Yeah, and really, we didn't spend that much time in the room. And other than Tyler sleeping on a nest.
Yeah, but he surrounded himself with all of the plastic he had been given by the end. He was just like a baby bird.
I think he's more like a Smaug.
A Smaug on his treasure trove?
Yes, I think he just...
Yeah, it was getting ridiculous by the end.
Ridiculous, yes. Rune Wars was aplenty.
Yes, that first night we did collect our bags, and much to me and Jack's surprise, we were going through the line, and we had the premium bag. So we're given a bag. We're like, okay. Next thing we get to the next station, they just hand us a giant box of Rune Wars. I was just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and I got a hoodie and a glass, and by the time we got back to the room, Coach and Andrew were like, oh, we should have gotten that. And I was like, here, you can have my Rune Wars. So that was the first Rune Wars I'd given away.
Yeah.
We'll have a ding bell for how many Rune Wars we ended up with.
And that might have been when young Andrew got Rune Wars, became his mantra for a while.
Rune Wars.
Rune Wars.
Who cares? That was our mantra back to him.
That was the first night, and
then we tried to sleep like babes because we knew it was a long day.
I know I did. I know, and I snored like a lumberjack. Tyler on his treasure trove. That was his one complaint, was my snoring that night.
And
it was too cold because when we got to the hotel room, they had it up to 77 in there. And that's too much. I need 65, 63 to 65 is a nice room temperature. So I open up that window.
Yeah. And might as well stop there for a break. We'll come back and talk about the next day at Adepticon. Sound good?
Sounds fantastic.
Dreadpath Zone. Dreadpath Zone is a YouTube channel dedicated to the Warpath universe by Mantic Games. Dead Zone, Warpath, Firefight, Dreadball, and Star Saga Battle Reports, unboxings, how-tos, and much, much more. Full of banter, ridiculous dice rolls, and the love for the hobby. So go check out Dreadpath Zone on YouTube or Facebook, and remember, keep rolling eights.
Hey, this is Pat Lewis, North American Community Manager for Mantic Games, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast, the retelling of Adepticon, the epic saga that was Adepticon 17.
Well, it was Adepticon 15 in 2017, which is always confusing, because I have it, that's why it says 15 on my shirt, and it's always like, oh, it's the 15th Adepticon, but it's 2017. I would go by the year, not the time.
Yeah, I would think so. But anyways
we digress. So next day, it was we're up to...
Continental breakfast to start?
Thursday, I think we're up to, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely got breakfast, and I think Thursday was pretty much, we did a lot of dealer room hanging out, and a lot of playing a Dead Zone, I think. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, this is where it's going to get foggy, because at one point we just found a open gaming area upstairs, and we just started playing Dead Zone.
Yep, I think that was... That was pretty much it. And that was Thursday. And we missed, we played so much Dead Zone, we missed happy hour on Thursday.
Yes, yes.
Many tears were shed.
And that Thursday, was that the first round of the jet bike races?
Yes, I believe it was. Yep. And was that Thursday or Friday? No, that was Friday. Thursday, okay. I don't think anything was on Thursday.
Okay.
Yep, just a lot of walking around, checking everything out, and playing Dead Zone.
And Tyler came prepared. He brought all his terrain.
And, like, we don't know how he fit all this into his bag. He had terrain, he had mats, he had every one of his armies.
Star Saga.
Which we never got to. And, yeah, and he had enough armies for Firefight, which he that night we started the demo game, but we were hanging out with Bill and Sue from Terrainaholic. And they had to leave, so they had to take their terrain. So
was it that night?
I believe that was that night.
Okay.
Anyways, that was Thursday. Next Friday, what happened Friday? Jet bike races were Friday. Once again, we played some Dead Zone in the morning. And jet bike races where Tyler came in. He got to qualified, second. And then he ended up coming in last. He qualified second, I think. And in the end, he ended up getting the last place in the jet bikes.
Yeah.
That kid. And he said some bad die rolls have killed him.
We went and we didn't want to be in the same heat as him.
Yeah, he was in the very first one.
Spread out. We said, well, we'll be back.
The next one was at like noon. At noon, we went to an amazing place to eat called Big Chef, which was just near our hotel.
Yeah.
We had some great food. And then the next race was at 2 o'clock. And I think by then we were playing Dead Zone or something. We missed we never got to any of the official jet bike races, even though we built our jet bikes.
Yeah, that was pretty shameful. That was and Friday, at one point where we had open gamed the day before was going to be a
bit straight
trade. Yep. So we had to move to this side of the room. And then at that point we were like, okay, you know what? We got to take matters in our own hands. We basically said we're claiming this part of where the Dead Zone tournament was going to be the next day. We didn't disturb any of the area where Kings of War was set up, but there was some table space, and we just set up.
We took over, yeah.
Yeah, I think
Two
or three tables, and we had a couple games going there, just playing pickup. And that's when we started meeting friends.
Yeah, we'll get to all the shout-outs near the end, but we did meet up a lot of great people. But that was also the first night where Tyler was playing a firefight game, and Jack was helping all the people that are going to be in the Dead Zone tournament playing the game, how to learn the game. And I put my foot down. I was like, "We're going to happy hour." So I had to like drag everybody out. Tyler never came that first night, but everybody else I dragged to happy hour.
He was playing firefight with someone named Nick, who he had met online, and that was a game changer. Tyler, after that, was on fire for the game. Like, some of the stuff that he wasn't so certain about how it worked, and like any of the questions he had were erased. He had nothing but praise for Nick about his understanding of the game. And I think the Dreadpath Zone's content is going to
really, the Third Sphere, yeah.
Is really just going to increase, skyrocket. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we finally got to happy hour, which was great. Free drinks and free snacks. What was your favorite snack, Jack?
That night they had nachos, but the cheese was kind of...
very fake, but it was fine. After a few drinks, it all tastes good. I was drinking Devil Punches.
Yeah, they had two. One was Jungle Juice, and the other was Devil's Punch.
Devil Punch, I believe, yeah.
And plus, they had beers on tap. They had...
they had a good selection of free drinks.
Yeah, and...
We were pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and pleasantly buzzed.
Yep, and it was good times.
Because in Canada, you can't do that.
Not free drinks like that, but did we go back after that? I think we might have gone back to Adepticon even after...
Happy Hour? I don't know.
I think we did, because at some point, we played John Carter in his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle lists, and I got beat with my Asterians, and... I don't know what Tyler was playing. I can't remember. He got beat. And then Coach revenged us. He beat him down. And that was sometime. I can't remember if that was before Happy or after. Needless to say, the alcohol and the tiredness and the alcohol got to us at some points.
Yeah.
Brain damage started to kick in.
Yeah. I can drink. There's no question there. But we walked a lot.
Yeah. It was only about a 5-minute walk from our hotel, but it was cold. It was very cold in Schaumburg.
But even during the day, walking through the dealer rooms, just walking through the dealer's halls, I think
My dogs were barking.
Yeah. We went through the first day. We went through about half.
Yeah, we didn't even get through it all yet.
Then we went through with Coach.
And he has to talk to every single person.
He knows everyone. So he'd go to the booth and he'd be like, hey. And I'm like, I'm not interested in this in the least. Whatever the game that happened to be. Or even if I was, I was done looking even before they had done
that. Yeah, we'd like walk way up while they were still talking, walk back and forth.
Still glad handing each other. So, we did a lot of walking. And it sounds silly to say, but it's tiring.
Yeah.
It is tiring. We, between the travel, the setting up.
But the adrenaline was up.
Yeah, and then you get some booze and some fresh air in you and food.
At some point, we met the Mini War Gaming guys, and Matt was like, we said, we're just down the road from you, and he said, oh, what do you play? And I said, well, we play Dead Zone, we do a podcast, and he's like, no, what do you play? And Coach had to go like, he doesn't play 40K. And that's when my mantra of, what's 40K, started.
Yeah.
And so.
Because now GW was present at this Adepticon, so a lot of people were like, well, in 40K, or...
Oh, you'd be in an elevator and they start talking 40K to you, and I'd be like, what's, I have no idea.
What's 40K? Yeah.
So, yeah, that started to be a running joke. We did have quite a few running jokes through the whole... The Rune Wars, it would just be like, Rune Wars, who cares? And what's 40K, and what was it? Then the Jack and Andrew... started making memes.
Andrew was making the memes, and I would laugh at them. Yeah. It was his
audience of one.
Yes, yes, I was his muse.
So that brings us to Saturday, and Saturday was the Dead Zone tournament, and it was all day. It was from I think 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. to 5 at least, and then after that was Mantic Night. We had to sneak in the happy hour in between, but
yes,
Jack was the ringer for the Dead Zone tournament, and I was kind of when I wasn't with Andrew looking at Flames of War, I was helping out Shane, the great TO. He was doing a good job, organized everything. But Jack, please tell us your experience with Dead Zone the tournament.
I had fully intended on playing with the Veerman. When I went there, I didn't want to bring a list that would be. I wanted to be about 50-50. Successes. I didn't want to be there to crush people, but I also didn't want to be a buy. I didn't want someone to go, oh, well, you got Jack, and he was there as a ringer, so that's why you have so many points. I wanted to be challenging enough, but not be crushing people who were just there to... So, but the problem was... Not the problem. Problem, wrong word. The thing was, I played Veerman for 2 days straight, because every time someone walked by, I went, what? Is that Dead Zone? Can I give it a whirl? I'd say, come on, let's sit down. Here's your army. And I would play with the Veerman, because the Veerman are...
good punching bags.
They're a good punching bag. So I had played, I don't know how many games of Dead Zone by that
teaching
point.
People things. And
yeah, from novices. I played Sue a couple times. Sue Foreman from... and I played Bill, and I played some fans and some strangers.
Yeah.
So I was done with the Veerman.
So what did you bring into the tournament?
I brought some Marauders.
He brought Marauders, people.
Yes, that joke was revealed to all, maybe one person who cared, and that happened to be Andrew. I think Coach also.
Coach ragged you a bit for playing Marauders.
But the joke was that since I hate Marauders, why did I play them in the tournament? But. Yeah, my first round I played Jeff Burbage of Dreadball fame. Yes, the Titan of Dreadball and the champion of Dreadball and
an amazing painter. He ended up for the tournament. He ended up with the best painted army.
Yeah,
with his plague. Everything was like perfectly touched up. And
what it was he took the color scheme from Mantic's original, the pink bubblegum monstrosities, and he stuck to it, but then he Nolan'd it up
on it. Yeah,
he turned it into the Nolan universe, grounded it.
It was very good.
Very good.
I think when we did the voting, I was with Shane, and that one, every single, like, I don't know if there's anyone who didn't vote for Jeff. On maybe Jeff didn't vote for Jeff, but other than that, everybody else voted for him for best army.
So, yeah, he was my first round.
First victim.
Yeah, I did beat him in a pretty close game, but it was a fun game. At one point, I was unsportsman, and I stood up and I shook my posterior.
That's not the first time you showed your butt that night, that weekend.
That weekend, no, the mistakes were made. Mistakes were made. But anyways, yeah. Jeff had gotten a little saucy with some mortars and knocked me off of an objective. Then decided he was going to follow up with some more mortars, a grenade that knocked me right back onto the objective. statistically improbable, but enough for me to dance.
Dance. And, yep, then your second person you played?
Was Bill Foreman, Trainaholic, a good friend of the show, good friend of ours. We've known him for a while, but I think this weekend we've cemented the fact that he's good people, we're good people.
Yeah, it was good. Him and Sue were great. They're such nice people.
I talked to Sue for hours.
Yeah, and Bill is so energetic and so happy to do. He could be losing, could be winning. He's still got the same energy level, and he's such a great guy to be around.
He apologized me for the full shellacking in which he delivered.
And he ended up doing pretty good in the tournament. I think he was fifth overall by the end.
The beginning of Adepticon, he was like, okay, we don't know the rules, whatever. And I played Sue a bit, and I played him a bit. And the difference between his first few games and once it started clicking, and once it just took playing, I guess he's not a rule book reader. He's a game player.
Yeah, he plays the game and learns it as he plays.
And I told him at the time, the difference is you can tell. And he threw a recon role where he had the ability to come onto the board from the side. A Terraton round two appeared in my deployment zone and proceeded to tear up goblin snipers like they were tissue paper. And he apologized the whole time with a smile ear to ear.
So the tournament went on, and I'm sure the results everybody may have heard by now, but in third place was Todd. I didn't catch his last name, but he had a Dead Zone the Podcast t-shirt on, so we're very proud of him.
Yes. Rob goes, hey, look, it's the only t-shirt we ever sold. It's that guy right there. And yeah.
And in second place was our roommate, Tyler, from Dreadpath Zone.
Schultzy.
Schultzy, as he'd become known.
At that point, I'd named him Schultzy.
And then in first place, obviously, unbeaten and gotten every single point because he takes the game very seriously, was our very own coach.
Yes.
Maybe now people will listen to our team building exercise and know he's got some clout.
Clean sweep.
He used his Pathfinders in the utmost terror and kicked some buttocks.
And speaking of team building exercise, the night before, I was approached by someone who said, hey, I've only played a couple times. But I listened to a podcast that told me that this is the list I built. And after a brief, I demurred a little bit and I said, that's our podcast.
Yeah, he didn't even realize he's playing Jack from the podcast he was talking about.
he says, I don't know really what I'm doing, but I've got this list. And he was running a coach list from team building exercise he had brought. He'd only started playing Dead Zone maybe he said November the year before, so maybe 5 months, 6 months.
Yeah, that's the good thing about this tournament. There was a few serious people like Daria and Tyler and Todd and Coach, the people at the top.
Yeah.
But everybody else was pretty relaxed and had fun and not much experience, some hardly any experience. Like some people, it was like their third game ever playing. So if you're ever thinking about getting into a Dead Zone tournament at Adepticon, it's pretty relaxed. I was amazed. I was like, I'm not into like the competitive scene. But I would have played after seeing all the fun everybody was having, and it was pretty much just playing a bunch of friendly games.
Yeah, it was a bunch of buddies just getting together and playing some round robin. Rob even said he would play in a tournament now, and that's saying a lot.
So, yeah, it was such a good scene, and
yeah. But unfortunately, after my first two games, I was discarded. I was thrown out like the trash.
Yeah, somebody had to go, so his ringer status was revoked, and then he became Flames of War guy with Andrew.
Yeah, I was the one that
leaving
now,
me to actually help with the tournament.
Now had to take young Andrew down to gawk at the Flames of War miniatures. At that point, he was calling it Flame of War. everyone's throat. The air was dry at the convention center.
Yeah. I was calling the water. Anytime anybody drink water in a, they have like free water there. Like just like, what do you call it?
Just water coolers. But
I swear it was filled with salt water because we were so dry. My lips were literally cracked and bleeding.
Oh yeah. His were bad. I brought in chapstick just through just preparedness.
Yeah.
And it saved. I was.
So if, once again, tip number two, if you're going to Dead Zone, or if you're going to Adepticon, bring chapstick.
Yes. Yes. It sounds ludicrous.
Yeah. And bring your own water. It was so dry.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yep. So it was a good tournament. Dan Robertson, I think his name was, or Roberts, one of two. He won Best Sportsman, it was great because once again, it was, everybody voted for somebody else, and until finally the very last person voted for someone who had gotten two votes. Everybody else had gotten one vote. So it was going to be like me, Jack, and Shane would have had to decide who was the best sportsman. But it ended up he got two votes, and that was enough, and he got best sportsman.
Yeah.
And as we said, Jeff Burbage got best painted, and Todd, Tyler, and Coach got their medals.
And I'm sure that it was recorded, so there's video evidence of this award ceremony if perhaps you want to see said... Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be on Family of Gamers or maybe even on Dreadpath Zone, I'm not sure.
And actually, there was some prize support.
Lots of prizes.
Not like Kings of War prize support, but there was a...
They got Mats by Mars mats, and they got pretty much a booster or a starter from Dead Zone.
And a nice medal.
A nice medal and a Blaine, I wouldn't call it a miniature. It was a Blaine statue.
Yep. Gold, silver, bronze.
Yep. Very cool. It's a lot nice stuff. And, everybody was pretty happy with the results. Then, as we said, we went to happy hour and we got back to Mantic Knight and almost not getting into Mantic Knight due to a over aggressive bouncer, but we did make it in eventually.
Yeah.
I was dead tired.
We'll skip the details. I mistakes were made. I got a little hot. I've apologized since, so I'm not going to highlight any of the details here. But Coach had to step in and be the voice of reason.
That's saying something.
I don't get hot very often, but okay. Anyways, we get inside. There was some issues. Ronnie, we had found out when we were setting up the booth.
Ronnie couldn't make it. He had some issues for not getting there.
So that was.
So instead, Joneet came. So Joneet was there. He's a very nice guy, and he had a lot to say. And Ronnie did record a message for everybody to watch, which I believe you can hear on the Counter Charge. I believe they had it on there. And it was pretty much he had kind of some semi announced a new Kickstarter for Dungeon Terrain, sort of.
Yeah.
Terrain Crate, I guess it's gonna be called, but nothing Dead Zone related.
No.
And. Other than that, I was dead tired. We were supposed to help demo games, but the Nerf Herders luckily stepped in and they used our stuff, but they demoed games to some people for Dead Zone.
Yeah, we just handed off our models.
I was barely conscious. I was so tired by this point.
And I was there to mingle, and I met some people and enjoyed and had some beverages. And Mark Zielinski, I think I spent most of the time talking to him. It was really nice to just get some FaceTime with him.
And do stay tuned to
such
the next
a nice,
episode.
Such a nice guy.
Next episode will be a lot more Mark and some Rob.
Oh. We might have a little bit of a confab going on. A little bit of a like a cross promotional thing.
So that was Saturday. We made it through Mantic Knight. We got home. Got back to the thing. Crashed. Woke up Sunday for our last day, our last breakfast.
Yep.
Great free breakfast at their place. And we went back to the con, bought a lot of stuff. Not really that much stuff, but we helped break down the Mantic booth.
Yes.
And put that away, brought it to the storage shed. Got a nice meal at Pat's house.
Yeah, once we broke down the Mantic booth, we got to see some of the differences between the setup and the takedown. The setup, everyone was a leisurely pace, laughing and cajoling and visiting and stuff. The teardown was done at a blistering pace by people who were tired. There was a lot of exhausted people. it was universal. You looked around and everyone was basically, okay, packing it in. We're going to get it done.
But it was great. Pat hooked us up for helping and we got more than enough stuff from him. He was great.
A couple things that we'll be able to...
we'll discuss our loot in after the next commercial break.
Yes, but before that we had a bit adieu to Coach.
Coach got his flight home with Andrew.
Fabian came along, so it was Coach, Andrew, and Fabian. We said goodbye to them. We then did the
teardown. Tyler helped us break down the booth this time. Because he was staying in Chicago for a few extra days, so he was kicking around.
Yep, he had shipped in his girlfriend to spend some quality Chicago time.
Yep. So, we got some nice pizza at Pat's house, and then we got driven down to back to the train station, all the way back to Buffalo.
The thing was, by the time we got done at Pat's, and Pat was like, oh, do you want to go? And it was a couple hours early, but I liked the fact that we were going to go a couple hours early. He drove us in, and we got to finish up and talk, and it was nice to get a little more Pat time in.
Yep,
he's a busy man.
Yeah, we barely got to see him during the convention.
We're not there to visit, so we weren't bothering him. He's at work.
Yeah,
so
he was running constantly.
His job isn't to entertain us, and we understand that, and that's common sense. But also, he works. So this was our final I think we've gotten to be good friends.
Yeah.
Through the Mantic hangouts and stuff, and he's a top quality guy.
Yeah, not just podcast friends, true friends.
I think so.
All of us though, I think the bond that we all became, but we'll get to that later. Anyways, we got to the train, got back to Canada after a hellish train ride.
We get to the train station and we sit down, and 15 minutes later, we were 2 hours early.
Yeah, they brought us into loaded the train. If we hadn't got there, we wouldn't have gotten a seat.
No. They started an hour early because it was the start of the line. And they started loading it. Well, two pigeons flew in. We were inside the holding area where we were. And some woman lost her mind. That was hilarious.
And we also, two people in line thought we were a gay couple. They were like... Yeah, they assumed we were together. We're like, no, we're just playing games.
Yeah, but also the train was not named 48 and 448.
That's train stuff.
So we get in line and everyone's confused, and we're talking to a delightful couple behind us, and then if Pat hadn't have gotten us there at the time,
we'd have been in trouble.
Another disaster averted. This could not have gone smoother.
Yeah,
this
we trip. Got so lucky. Everything.
The Uber. This getting there on time, Pat giving us a ride. Thank you again, Pat. It just worked. Get it back on the train.
Once again, an hour late. We got picked up, this time by my father's Lincoln Navigator. Yeah. Lots of room.
Lots of room.
Once again at the bridge.
Our bags were so laden at this point.
My zipper was actually breaking because I had so much stuff in there.
And you know what? Just the packing was a whole ordeal in itself.
We'll discuss our swag. But we got it to the border. Once again, we mentioned we were at a gaming convention. Once again, he coughed nerds and let us through. I declared half a bottle of rum, and Jack declared a single bottle of beer.
Yes. I wanted one for the ride on the train because I thought if I was going to take it out of carry-on because I needed some sleep. And no, I packed it in with the...
Yeah, you put it in the wrong bag.
So, because my carry-on wasn't what it was going to be intended because I bought a battle foam
bag. Yeah, we got a new battle foam bag to fill it with all the miniatures.
So that was my carry-on, and there was no room for beer in there, so...
And we made it back to Canada. So that was the trip. We're going to take another break, and we'll come back to talk about our swag.
Swag. And this commercial here, if you don't want to hear it anymore... Just go over to Patreon and take a gander. Just letting you know.
There is incentive.
Hey, oh man, that was a good roll. Hey Georgie, what are you watching?
Oh, I'm just watching a video on Family of Gamers 777 on YouTube.
What kind of videos are on their channel?
They have hobby videos, live streams, Dead Zone and Warpath battle reports, and tons of other great stuff.
Oh, cool. I have to check them out.
Remember, that's Family of Gamers 777 on YouTube, the hub for all things miniature wargaming.
So, Georgie, what's your favorite video on their channel?
I love them all so much. much to pick just one, what do I know?
Welcome back to Coaching Friends, and today I'm joined with Roberto and Jake.
Welcome back, and now let's talk about all the swag we got. So let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about what was in the premium bags. So we got tons of miniatures.
It's been a little bit of time, so I want to
make
sure.
I laid out all my stuff neatly in a beautifully on my bed with a lot of all the things I got. We did get a huge War Machine book, which I don't know where I put that now that I think about it. But it's like a super hardcover War Machine Prime, which I'm probably going to sell online.
It's gorgeous.
It is a beautiful book. It's like $60 or $40 value. We got tons of just miniatures, bases. What else we get in there? I got some German soldiers. This is all that was just in the premium bag. Of course, we got Rune Wars, which I gave away. We never talked about this. I gave away a Rune Wars.
Ding!
And then when we were sitting around just playing some Dead Zone, somebody came into the room and was like, anybody want Rune Wars? They had a box. It was the Decepticon people.
And I guess that's what they do. You know, if just as you're playing and stuff, they come in and, you know, seed the area with various prizes and such.
So I ended up with another box of Rune Wars, and Jack ended up with another box of Rune Wars. I gave that box of Rune Wars to Tyler?
You gave that first one to Andrew.
And Andrew. I think the second one I gave to Tyler.
Yes.
And then, so Jack had two anyways. I was like, well, we're going to have enough. We have two.
Yeah.
And then
I wasn't being greedy. There was people that didn't have any, and we were like, okay.
Yeah, we're just handing them out. So we ended up with extra Rune Wars. So then, we got the carrier, plastic carrier thing that you could hang on your wall for miniatures. Jack seemed to like it. I thought it was stupid.
I'm using it.
Yes, you are. And from helping Pat, I ended up with a starter box of Kings of War Dwarfs versus Undead, which I traded the Undead to Tyler for some more Rune Wars Knights. I ended up buying a tank from Warzone, which was really great. And I got a free t-shirt and a miniature with that. Jack got, that I ended up carrying though, was the Walking Dead All Out War. We'll let you talk about that later.
Yes.
We ended up with a Mars Attacks mat, which is cool, because we have another mat now. It's a gridded mat, so. Just tons of stuff. I bought basing kits, and I bought stamps that you could bake. You could base miniatures with these rubber stamps, kind of. And I bought some paints. Jack, what did you end up with?
Well, in the swag bag. Now, swag bags were put together pretty haphazardly.
Yeah, you ended up with like two of some things, and I ended up with more stuff than
three,
you.
Three miniatures on motorcycles from Wreckage.
Wreckage, yeah. Wreckage.
So, like, there was a lot of differentials between the two bags.
I ended up with an alien on a skull from Aliens. Which Jack never got.
The little diorama thing, that was awesome. Yeah, but you're the real person who should have got that.
But it's just funny. I was slightly ahead in line than Jack because just the way the lines went, my line went faster than Jack's line because of our names, and it was just coincidental.
Yeah.
Even though he's F and I'm H, we were just separated just enough that I was slightly faster than him.
And I bet you that just the way they were putting them together, that the speed and the you know,
some things got some things.
It's free crap. So, like, it's not like they need to be, it's not rocket surgery here. Yeah. So you got what you got, right? I got the War Machine manual, which is a big, beautiful book.
If we played War Machine, it'd be amazing. But once again, I got a Kings of War book, which I gave to Andrew.
I got Flames of War
or Flames of War. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yes. I got a sprue of what looked like British redcoats.
Yeah, like Napoleonics.
A couple of random small miniatures, including something from Malifaux and some other. I got some bases from Elric's Hobbies.
Yeah, and also from MicroArts. They got two sets of bases.
But I would. That plastic case that Robin alluded to, I've already decided that's my zombie carrying case. I've already got some metal strips on the bottom and stuff.
Well, if you need another one, I have one.
I might. Because I have to do a 1,000 zombie challenge, apparently.
Yeah, that's next episode, Jack.
Oh, shh. Secret.
Secret.
It's a secret. The swag bag, mine had a little less than Rob's, but it was for $50, I got the Rune Wars alone was.
And the War Machine book alone.
Yeah, so like I'm not going to complain about, but it's when it dawned on me that the size of my luggage is
we're starting to get an issue when you have two boxes of Rune Wars. Needless to say, when the poor maid had to clean up our room, there was literally a tower of Rune War boxes.
Yes, and such gorgeous miniatures. I mean, you couldn't not.
And nice boxes too, but you couldn't fit them. The boxes were I'd say 6 inches deep. Like, they're huge.
I regret not taking a rule book now. I didn't have the room. You can't lament.
No.
I couldn't take all the stuff inside. It was so beautiful. So bad.
Left half of it there, like all these tokens and dice. It's a shame, but who knows? We were getting them for the miniatures, really. And what else did you get for, you also got some undead?
A box full of, mantic undead, there's something going on there. I've got some string and pictures on the wall, a la, like the question. I'm following a lead that, I'm not gonna divulge right now, but I'm onto something with those. At Mantic Night, we were given a little bag, it was a bit disappointing, a little light, but, I was mocked because I thought something was a CD.
And, for Walking Dead, it's a marker for area effects, I think.
Yeah, Tyler had a good laugh at that. But, I did purchase some, River Guard for Kings of War, because they're frog lizard guys and I liked the looks of them. I got some, Shambling Walker trees.
That's right, for helping Pat.
And, my purchases, amount to, I went and bought some washes from Secret Weapon, which, anyone who listens to this podcast knows that's what I was there for. And I bought some Soft Body Black and some Armor Wash.
And you got the rust effects.
And I got the rust effects the first, because that was also something I wanted. Now that I've tried them, I wish I would have done something a little different, but I just spent,
they're cool.
Ten bucks on one little thing just to see.
Yeah, I got the Secret Weapon basing kit. It has terracotta earth and dried earth and sand and stuff in it and water effects. And so far I did the terracotta, and once I did some working with them, it's pretty fun. Yeah. And Pat asked us to go. He was stuck in the booth, so he asked us to go back to Secret Weapon to buy him some stuff. And needless to say, Jack and I bought more stuff. So.
Yes. And then, so there's other sundry items I got, like a six-sided die from Mini Wargaming when we went over there.
I got one of those too. I have no idea where that went.
Oh, that's a shame.
It was in one of my pockets, so who knows where it ended up.
Yeah, so there's various miniatures and stuff from this way. I've got so much to paint. I can't paint a resin Blaine right now. I can't paint a werewolf from some other company. I appreciate it. It's probably a fine product. I'm buried. So just the Rune Wars miniatures alone that I'm working on is. Yeah. But my bag was packed.
My purchase of the weekend was definitely that Warzone tank. It was only $36, and it's a huge tank, resin tank. But I also, when I bought it, he's like, "Here, take a T-shirt. Hey, also take this free miniature." And he was just like, so nice. I regretted not going back and buying more because it was very cool. Because Warzone for Protoss is pretty expensive stuff, but really good deals there.
And what was the only reason you didn't buy the Aliens game?
Oh, I had no room. I was going to buy, they had the Aliens versus Predator 2nd Edition, all one-piece miniatures. I was going to buy that for sure. No room in my bag. And it weighed like 1,000 pounds.
He pulls it off the rack, and it was...
I'd say it was a good 10 pounds.
It was solid. Solid.
Yeah. But I wish I'd... Yeah. It was cheap, too. It was like... I think it was only $50 or something. Something really cheap for that game. But... C'est la vie. Well, we learned, bring empty bags, because when we came back, our bags were literally bursting.
Yes.
My bag was marked heavy and on a train. So
from the train, someone along the way had to mark his bag. And I brought multiple sets of sleeping clothes, sweaters and stuff that I took out, and they were still
full. Yeah, you never used them, yeah.
So it was some wasted space. But
definitely need more space empty to get some more stuff, because we had the opportunity to get more stuff. We just had no space.
Yeah.
I gave away a Dreadball Extreme. Pat gave us that to give a prize support. So I gave it away to our fan, Tom.
Yep.
And, it was crazy.
Yeah. And we had brought down some stuff to give away. So I handed out some zombies to some people and some other stuff. But
Pat also gave us some, some other things to give away. So I'm sure in the near future we'll have a little mini contest somehow.
Yes. Yes. So very mini, minimal work.
Yeah.
Don't get your hopes up. It'll be, the prizes will be small.
But they're good. Like a lot of people are asking for these prizes.
The effort will be.
We'll let you know in the near future.
Equally small.
And other than that, that was our prize support. Want to move on to some shout outs?
Yes. Yes.
I do have a list of shout outs with people we met.
So should are we going to read the name and then say where we met them, how we met them?
Sure, like, we can do that.
In that order or chronological? Or
I just wrote them down, I don't know, as I thought of them, I guess.
Okay.
So first person is Dan D. Dan Day.
Oh, Dan Day, yes.
I think he was the one you taught some Dead Zone to, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. He had only started painting miniatures the same time as he started playing the Dead Zone, which had been months. And they were all right.
Yeah, very cool.
For a rook, just like off the street, the painting miniature, I looked and I said, that's a decent paint job.
Yeah, pretty good start, yeah.
Dan, if you're listening, and I hope you are because we gave you the...
you better be listening.
Yeah. It was nice to meet you, and keep painting. If that's your starting point, you're way ahead of a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. Another person we met, our first Top Hat and Monocle Club, the nameless Top Hat and Monocle Club member to actually meet in public was Andrew Webb. And he introduced us, he introduced himself to us. We're like, oh, that's cool. You know, we are. And then he says to Jack, yeah, thanks for your reading from my aunt. And they were like, oh, that was you.
I was helping someone with the Dead Zone. And, you know, I was talking to him. Hey, Andrew. And I shake his hand, but it didn't dawn on me. And then he said, yeah, thank you for the reading. Now that is one of those cases where we're recording and I say things.
and you never expect to meet the person you said it.
Afterwards, I'm not afraid to meet someone after I say something like that. Afterwards, Rob goes, do you think maybe like if he had just lost a family member, he shouldn't have said that? And I go, yeah, maybe. What if he just didn't appreciate that?
He liked it a lot.
He led with it.
He
led with it.
He was a great guy.
Yeah. And Andrew was, I talked to him for quite a bit.
Yeah. He was really cool.
Yeah.
And the next person was Todd, who, once again, he had the Dead Zone, the podcast t-shirt on, red.
You
right,
looked,
represent. He's you our looked, man.
You looked both adorable in the shirt, but also showing pride, Dead Zone pride.
Yep.
Quite frankly, I wish I would have spent a little more time talking to him, but he was
busy doing well in the tournament.
Yeah, he was a Dead Zone animal. So probably at that point he'd be like, yeah, I don't need you anymore. I've surpassed you.
The next person I met was Chris. I was walking through with Andrew, and all of a sudden some guy just was like, he's looking at me, and I'm like, why is this guy staring at me? And then I passed him, he goes, hey, Rob. And I was like, I don't know anybody here. What? And I turn, and it's Chris. And Chris shakes my hand, oh, I love the podcast. And I was like, wow, I can't believe that you know me from the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was great to meet him. He was a cool guy. We talked to him for quite a bit. He was the one who had a battle from the tournament early, but...
Yes, though
he had to go mail some stuff,
and I talked to him for a long time.
He was really cool.
And you know what? You know, fun. We talked about a whole bunch of different things, a whole bunch of like just super. I could have talked to him for days.
Yeah,
but at one point he showed me. Oh, you know, I do some airbrushing or whatever. He showed me some pictures, and I just. You know, Chris, if you just want to make someone feel like
inadequate,
just show them your
the trying things out, and he's like,
yeah,
perfect.
One of the seven deadly sins. This one's, I think he was showing me lust or something, and from the game,
Dark Souls.
I went, oh. Yeah, you're talented, but oh, fantastic guy.
We also met, of course, Sue and Bill Foreman from Terrainaholic. They were just as good as they see them on their channel. They're like that by 1,000 in real life.
Just genuinely good people.
Like Sue volunteered to go pick up Coach Fabian and Andrew from she had to drive an hour from where they live to pick them up at the airport and bring them to the hotel. Just out of the kindness of her heart. Like she was great. And then Bill, like I say, his energy and his, he just loves life and loves being in the scene. And and great people.
You know what? Seeing his face when Tyler was playing Firefight on his terrain,
mm-hmm.
that was like that.
Once again, you go Dreadpath Zone to hear that game on. He has that on this channel. You can hear Bill talking about it in the background and so excited.
Just the look of the people enjoying on his terrain. Oh, that made his day. Like you could tell he was just thoroughly happy. Thoroughly happy.
Yeah, it was great. And of course, the next person is Jeff Burbage. We met him before 2 years ago, but now we got to hang out with him a bit more. And he's good Canadian fella.
Yeah.
And what he knows about Dreadball and what he, like, he is the man. He showed off at Mantic Knight the Dreadball Ultimate board he designed for version 2.
Remember when Tyler spilled a drink all over it?
Full drink. Total, like, everything. Ruined everything. No.
Oh.
Tyler, we love you. We just like bringing it up. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. That was funny. Jeff is certainly, he's into the Dreadball and he knows Dreadball and but he's also
an amazing painter,
a nice laid back guy.
Yeah.
Tyler hawked a drink all over his stuff and, he just, don't worry about it.
It's all got cut. It's all washable.
Yeah.
He's great. We also met Sean Beetle from YouTube, who came down. He emailed me and was like, what's the chance of meeting you guys? And we said, hey, we're just here playing Dead Zone. Come on down. And he did. And it was great to meet him. He was such a nice guy. Took tons of pictures, as we said earlier. And he said nice things about things that we like to hear. And
He stroked our egos just enough.
Yeah, it was great.
And and I talked to him for quite some time.
Really too. Nice guy. So great to meet him. At Mantic Night, we met Christian.
Yes.
He was, once again, another guy who we've seen his name around and on Facebook and stuff. And he's just friendly, super friendly guy.
Yeah.
Great to hang out with at Mantic Night.
Yeah. And he, Mark Zielinski and I, we stood and talked for I don't know how long about like a whole bunch of stuff. It was just nice, especially like you said, we were whipped at that point.
Yeah.
And just to have like just a comfortable conversation with some people without,
no pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you know, I feel like I got to start entertaining. So I get out there and I start
jucking and jiving.
Hey, everybody, look at me.
But you were nice and relaxed and drinking beer.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was nice.
And speaking of Mark Zielinski, of course, and his daughter, it was great to meet them.
Yep.
And Mark, once again, another genuine guy. What you hear is what you get. He's so energetic and fun. And
yes, yeah.
And once again, well, next episode, you might hear him a bit.
Yeah, yeah. We discussed some other projects in the future that we might be getting involved with. As a lot of maybes, and we're gonna got some stuff. But definitely next Dead Zone, the podcast, we're going to have some guests.
Yep. And, of course, Steven from Mod Cubes, he was showing off his new, do you remember what they were called? It was like
Mod Bits.
Yeah, it was like a new kind of toy. But he was surprised how many people kept asking about the Dead Zone Mod Cubes, which is great. Please keep bothering him so he keeps putting them in stock.
I got a business card, and I don't want to alarm anyone, but navigating the interwebs is not my forte. I couldn't find the perfect link that we have in our show notes on the show where we got the Mod Cubes. We got to put that link back in there because first of all, we went up and we said, hey, I want to buy, cause I did. I was genuinely, I had,
you wanted to buy extra command dice.
I wanted to buy extra command dice. Jeff Burbage had already picked up.
Yeah. He had them at the tournament. Yeah.
So when we were playing in the tournament, we both had the Mod Cubes, which is super convenient since they're so great that for the cases and everything. And there was some other people who had asked, and so we introduced ourselves. We talked a little bit. He said, "Okay, they're sold out." He hadn't anticipated the demand. And quite literally, when I went by and I talked to him again because some other people were asking where I'd got mine, so I said, "I'm just gonna take some business cards." And he was like, "Oh, okay." Someone else walked up and said, "Hey, I'm here for someone I didn't know, someone I wasn't in the tournament, and someone I never saw again."
Asking for the Dead Zone
Mod Cubes. So I don't know if by the end of the...
And whoever you are, you should have come and said hi. Yeah, if you're listening to the show.
Yeah. But I We talked to him. He's so nice.
Yeah, really nice guy.
And we got enough of the little tokens he had.
Yeah, he had lots of tokens. You'll probably see them in some battle reports coming up because we're going to use them as activation tokens.
And someone crammed a bunch of them into Tyler Schultz's
hoodie.
Schultz's hoodie when we were – so, yeah, hilarity ensued when he disrobed that night.
Yeah. Who knew that Tyler really had a problem with people putting stuff in his hoodie? We found out soon enough.
Yeah, we do now.
We also met Mario and Alex from Mats by Mars. It's nice to actually meet them. I've corresponded with both of them quite a bit ordering mats, so it's nice to see them. Yeah. And they were showing off the mats, and yeah, great.
We had a discussion in which I had called Alex the Blowfish of Hootie and the Blowfish.
That's right. And he had to admit that, yes,
yeah, Mario, we all had a good laugh, and it was a... I won't bore you all with the details, but meeting Mario and Alex was probably of all the people I wanted to meet, other than Ash Barker, which we did never get to meet.
No, we never did meet him.
Were the people I wanted to actually see.
Say hi, yeah.
And because the Mats by Mars mats are fantastic.
We're big fans. Yeah.
You know when you use a product and then you know you're going to be there and you can just say to someone, "I know how it would feel if I did something worth praising."
Yeah.
One day that might happen. But if someone comes up and goes, you know, I use your product and you do a good job and you should be proud. And it's nice to be able to say that. And Mats by Mars does that.
Yep. And, we also met Mini Wargaming guys. I talked about my interaction with Matt. He's a nice guy, obviously. But Dave is such a, once again, a genuine guy. Dave is what you see is what you get. And every time Andrew would go by him, he'd give him a hug, and Dave never shied away. He hugged him every time. He called Tyler his brother from another mother because they're both half Asian, and
yeah.
Like they had a great bond. Like Tyler never met him before, and every time he saw him, he gave him a nod and a smile, and he's a super nice guy. Talked to Coach for forever, and
yeah, made a concerted effort to mingle. That's
and
nice.
And this show, those guys are superstars. Everybody watches their channel. Like,
oh yeah, they didn't need to be bothering with us.
No,
I started talking to them about how we're just down the street from them, and they're like, hey, have you ever come in? No, we don't play 40K, whatever. And just chatter like that when quite literally. Literally, there were people surrounding that were clamoring to just heap praise on them. And he's talking to a guy who
doesn't even play the game.
Can't even really appreciate, doesn't have the same. So that says a lot.
I also met Derek from Throne of Angels. Nice guy. He sold me some paints because he was running the Army Painter booth.
Yes, that is true. And we picked up some
dull coat and
dull varnish,
anti-shine, and some shine, and some I got their new technical paint for rust, so we'll have to try that out.
Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing what you can do with that.
And of course, all the guys from Mantic, Shane, Joe, John, Brian, they and of course community Pat, but we'll talk more about Pat later. But the Mantic guys, really nice guys. Shane is legitimately a friend now.
Yeah.
Brian and John welcomed us and helped us through setting up. They never yelled at us for doing things wrong. Or...
No, and we can be a couple of bumble and we did our work. Don't get us wrong. We worked. We went at it. And Brian I don't know if he could tell a funny joke, but he laughs after every one of them.
He has a lot of dad jokes.
He's got dad jokes out the yin yang. And it was fun. And again, they, you know, were very, very nice. And
Joe Neat for being like the head of North America's Mantic section. Really down to earth guy.
Yeah.
Friendly.
He did. He called me terrible names and he whipped me with a fishing rod. I didn't appreciate that.
I don't think any of that happened, Jack.
No, none of that happened either. But we've been, you know, doing a lot of praising. And
yeah,
I thought
a lot of praising.
Maybe one person we had to kind of...
Well, let's move on to the main men. That would be Tyler, Coach, Fabian, Pat, and Andrew. Those guys, they're our boys.
We are
our
now,
boys, Blue.
Yeah, we've had passing interactions to various degrees. And I would say they are our genuine friends now.
Oh yeah, after what we went through with those guys,
we went through a crucible of nest sleeping, snoring, and drinking, smoking cigars.
Yeah. Ragging on each other and
having each other's backs when things got a little hot.
Yeah. So it was good times.
Good people and good times. Yeah. And I'm glad that we went.
Great group. Yep. And Pat, he's a superstar.
Oh yeah.
Mantic might let us down once in a while, but Pat will never let us down.
No. Not us, just us, but Pat doesn't let Mantic down.
No, he's if they ever lose him, they're screwed in North America.
Oh, they better take Pat and put him to their bosom and let him just suckle there
and rock him to sleep,
sing him a lullaby.
Yeah.
Go to sleep, Pat.
Go to sleep.
Go to sleep. I love you.
Yeah. Pat's the man.
Yeah.
So, I think that's about it. That was Adepticon. This is, I think, a long episode.
A long episode, but we had to, we sped through. We didn't give the details.
No, there was too much to talk about. There's too much more to talk about. Trickle out as we go.
Yeah, too much to talk about. Not enough. A little bit of time has passed.
And I think we will have an episode with Tyler and Coach John to talk to them, maybe get Andrew in there too. And we'll talk about our mutual experiences and make fun of Tyler not getting a drink over on somebody's mat.
And there is a Family Gamer 777 video of us wrapping up at the hotel room in which we each give, we talk a little bit. We all discuss.
And we do have our special guest appearances on the important questions video he does.
Yeah.
So I think ours are some of the funnier ones.
My cameraman work was astounding.
And by then that was Mantic Night and I was so out of it and we were just goofy.
Yeah.
Goofy. So thank you for listening to this long one. I hope it was somewhat enjoyable, just our recapping our fun times.
Yes. Even if it's just our new friends listening for their mention.
Thanks a lot, guys. We hope to see you next year.
Yeah. And you guys made it for us. Too just yeah. Even just coming up and saying hi was it's outstanding, and thank you.
Yeah, great. Genuinely. Time. So please come back next time for a very special episode. And until then, I've been Rob,
and I'm Jack.
This has been Deads on the Podcast.
I'll see you.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at deadzonepodcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
You think this is funny? Oh, don't.
Oh.
Then maybe you'll find Vinland Old Time Radio more of your liking.
More of your liking indeed, Rob.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com. It's where the funny lives.